Amen. Thank you, ladies. That's a great song and one of my favorite songs, and what a blessing that is. Let's take the Word of God this morning, and we will go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and in just a moment, we'll begin in verse number 1, and I want to read a few verses to you today. Last evening, we had our Valentine's banquet. We do that annually, and it is a special time. We really enjoy that time of fellowship and laughter and food, and just, it was great. But this morning, I want to speak to you on the subject of marriage. You may say today, well, I'm not married. But the truth that I'm giving you today applies to all of our lives. In fact, today I want to preach to you on this subject. You hold the power for your marriage. You hold the power. And I believe that because of marriage being a divine institution by God, marriage was not man's idea. We didn't come up with it. You think of Adam in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says in chapter 1 there, 7 times God said that it was good. God made the sun, the trees, the land. God said it was good, and it was good. It was perfect. It was complete. And God made man and put him there. But the only thing that God said was not good was that Adam was alone. There was not a help meet, a help suitable for him. Adam was lonely. Now, how is it that man, being in a perfect environment and a perfect relationship with God, and yet God said, it's not good? You see, God came up with the very ideal of marriage. It is not man's ideal, and God is the only one who can show us how marriage works. Now, we must understand today that the day that you got married, as a sinner, you married another sinner. Even though you may have been saved and you know Christ as your Savior, but there are inherent some difficulties in marriage. We all understand that. But I believe today that there are 3 powers in every marriage that we must accept and we must use. Now, by the way, we have powers today, and I'm not talking about supernatural powers in a sense. I'm speaking of powers. For instance, I have words. Do you know there are great power with words? I can use my words to help or to hurt. I can use my words to build up or to break down. There's great power in my words and power that I have, and I can use that power for good or for evil. Well, I believe in every marriage, according to the Bible, there are 3 powers. We're going to look at them today. And I believe with these 3 powers, you hold the power to have the kind of marriage that God wants you to have. Now, this coming, of course, Thursday, I believe, is Valentine's Day. And, of course, it's a big day to give cards and a big day to do certain things and special things with your spouse, and I think that's wonderful. But I found something. Now, just to let you know, I'm from Tennessee. I don't know if I'm a redneck or not, all right? And some people say I am, some people say I'm not, all right? Believe it or not, I did the Bible Club this past Friday. We had 68 high school students there, by the way. And Mrs. Dodane, the teacher, she came up to me. She said, I can tell that you're from Tennessee. It is evident as you talk. And I said, well, why do you say that? She said, because you say Ohio. I said, yeah, that's where we live, Ohio, you know. And she said, no, no, no. If you're from Ohio, you don't say Ohio. You say Ohio. Is that correct? Ohio. Just like that. How many understands that? All right. Okay. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. All right. So then anyway. Okay. Well, maybe I'm a redneck or whatever, but I'd like to read to you a redneck Valentine's Day poem, all right? I think you'll enjoy this, all right? And husbands, if you want this to quote to your wife, just let me know after the service, all right? And it may serve you well, or she may beat you, one or the other, all right? So, all right, here it is, a redneck Valentine's Day poem. My tractor is green, my dog's name is Blue, and I'm so lucky to have a sweet thing like you. Your hair is like corn silk, a flapping in the breeze, softer than my dog Blues, and without all them fleas, all right? You have some of your teeth, for which I'm proud. I hold my head high when we're in a crowd, right? Like a good roll of duct tape, you're there for your man to patch up life's troubles and fix what you can. And you're as graceful as okra, just a dancing in the pan. You're as fragrant as Mountain Dew right out of the can, all right? Cut from the best cloth like a plaid flannel shirt, you spark up my life more than a fresh load of dirt, all right? That's a blessing, isn't it? All right. Your complexion, it's perfection, like the best vinyl siding. Despite all the years, your age, it keeps hiding, all right? Me and you's like a moon pie with an RC cold drink. We go together like a skunk goes with a stank, all right? So if you see that good, you just, all right? When you get old like a 57 Chevy, I won't put you on blocks and let grass grow up heavy, all right? Some men, they buy chocolate for Valentine's Day. They get it at Walmart. It's romantic that way. Some men get roses on that special day from the cooler at Kroger. That's impressive, I say. But for this man, honey, these won't do, because you're too special, you sweet thing, you. I got you a gift without taste nor odor, more useful than diamonds. It's a new lawn mower. All right, so, well, men, if you get your wife a lawn mower, then you're probably going to have to see me for counseling, all right, and no doubt about it. Well, today, may God help us. We hold powers in our marriage. You hold the power. You have it. Will you use it or abuse the power? Will you receive the power? Let's read it together. Ephesians chapter 4, and we begin in verse number 1. Ephesians 4, verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might feel all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And would you look in verse 15? But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making measure of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, this passage that I've just read to you, we may think, well, that's about the ministry and that is to preachers. No, brethren, that is to all of us here today. And by the way, may I say to you, as we go back to verse number 1, the Bible talks about, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Do you know that every married couple in here, in a sense, God has called you. He's brought you two together. The Bible says, what? Therefore, God hath joined together. Let not man put asunder. God joined you together. I've heard couples tell me years past that I married the wrong person. Brother, the day you got married, you are married in the eyes of God. You have married the right person. And may I say to you that God brought you two together. He has brought you two together to live the rest of your lives together in faithfulness. But He has called you to a vocation. He's called you to exemplify Jesus Christ in your marriage. But as I talked about last night, God has called the men to serve their wives, to help them grow in their Christian life. But God has called the women to serve their husbands, to help them grow. You see, marriage for the purpose, it's like the Bible says. And notice this, we read on here in verse number 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Would you go back to this verse? The Bible says, what it says here in verse 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And look what it says in verse 16, for whom the whole body fitly joined together. Do you know something? That a marriage that God has called us to is like a body that is fitly joined together. Have you ever had maybe a portion of your body that is out of joint? I have. I remember years ago, my elbow went out of joint. Boy, you talk about pain. You talk about hurt and having to go in and the doctor putting me to sleep to cram my arm back into place and therefore breaking my elbow and having surgery. When it was out of joint, it was not the way it needs to be. And may I tell you, there are many marriages today, they're out of joint. Things are not fitly joined together. Things are not working as they need to work. And I believe it is because they do not use the God-given powers within a marriage as God has given them to us. Now we find it in the Word of God. Number one, let's talk about the first power. It is the power of truth. Look what it says in verse number 15. It says this, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things. Do you know that there is in every marriage, there is no marriage where folks do not know one another so intimately. In fact, marriage brings two human beings into closer contact than any other relationship could ever bring. And just, I'm going to give you illustrations this morning, and I'm going to give you the illustrations of my wife and I, if you will allow me to do that. God has allowed my wife and I to be married 21 years this coming July. And I thank God for the wife, the spouse He's given to me. I remember praying when I was in college, praying that God would bring into my life the very lady He wanted me to marry. And I know you may think it's funny, but I did it on purpose, and I was serious about it. The Bible says that in the book of Genesis, that it is not good that man should be alone. And I prayed that prayer a lot to the Lord, you know. I did, and I wasn't being jokingly. I said, God, in Your Word, Lord, You said it's not good. And Lord, I agree with You, a double amen, it's not good. And I prayed that God would bring into my life the lady that He wanted me to marry, to spend the rest of my life with, and together that we could serve the Lord together. You know something, my wife and I, it is so important that we are fitly joined together, like a body in every joint working together. And brother, may I tell you that that will never happen unless we use biblically and correctly the power of truth. You see, in every marriage, you're so close. But you know what that means? That means that not only do you see each other close up, but that you are forced to deal with the flaws and the sins of each other. There is no doubt that when we first get married, we think we have found the perfect spouse. And the other spouse thinks they have found the perfect spouse. But it doesn't take long before you are married to understand that you two are not perfect. You too have lots of character issues and sin habits in your life, things that need to be refined and things that you need to grow. But God has designed for a marriage to grow together and for each other using the power of truth to help one another. The Bible says that we are to speak the truth in love. And by the way, this power of truth. By the way, what are some of the flaws that you might see in your spouse? You may be a fearful person with a tendency toward great anxiety. You may be a proud person with a tendency to be opinionated and selfish. You may be an undisciplined person with a tendency to be unreliable and disorganized. You may be a perfectionist with a tendency to be judgmental and critical of others. You might be impatient, irritable, with a tendency to hold grudges and to speak in anger. You know something? If that is true of your life, then there needs to be a spouse that will speak the truth in love to you to say, honey, darling, what you're saying is hurtful. What you're saying, honey, is hurting our kids. Your attitude toward so-and-so at church was very proud and very critical, but it needs to be spoken. And by the way, may I tell you that marriage, it reveals who we really are. Some couples think that it's my spouse who reveals who I am. No, marriage shows who we really are. In fact, marriage by its very nature has the power of truth. The power to show you the truth about who you really are. Not what you think you are, but who you really are. In fact, what does the Bible say that our heart does to us? In Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do you know that left to yourself, you will not see yourself for what you really are? And I don't see myself for what I really am. Early in our marriage, we enter into marriage often with unrealistic expectations. God has called me to lead. He has. He's called me to lead as a pastor. He's called every man to lead in his home. But when my wife and I were first married, my wife lovingly spoke the truth to me, but it hurt. By the way, truth hurts. Truth is like a sword. And truth is like the surgeon's knife, that it hurts us. Now, it will help us and heal us if we will accept the truth and listen to it. But early in my marriage, I didn't like the truth. I didn't like what my wife had to say to me. For instance, it made me feel like I was not the leader. And boy, here I am. I'm not doing the right thing. And for a time in our marriage, my wife, because of my attitude toward the truth, she would not give me the truth. One day she said, honey, I can't tell you anything. You won't listen to me. Well, that was truth that I needed to hear. And I saw that I was pretty much proud. I saw the arrogancy in my life to not accept the truth. And God had given me a loving wife to speak the truth to me. She spoke it in love, but I did not receive it. It hurt me, and I didn't like to see the character flaws about me and the sin habits that, I knew in my subconscious mind and heart that it was true, but I didn't want the truth. You see, she had the power of truth, but I didn't let her use the power of truth. But every couple, every man, every wife here, you have the power of truth in your marriage. And the Bible tells us that we must speak the truth in love. Can I help you with something today? Don't resist the power of truth in your marriage. Give your spouse the right to talk to you. Give your spouse that freedom and the right to show you what is wrong in your life. You know something? It would be good for every man and every woman in here that sometime today for you to say to your spouse, and you mean it with all your heart, to say, honey, darling, I want you to know, I want you to speak the truth to me in love. And by God's grace, I will receive the truth, and I will ask God to help me and to work that in my life. You see, when couples are together, they see one another like no one else sees them. Brethren, I'll tell you, it's easy to come to church and always put on your best front and always look great, but my wife knows me like no one else knows me. She knows my weaknesses. She knows my faults. She knows my tendencies. She knows my insecurities. She knows all of that about me. But may I tell you that she uses the power of truth. It's a great power. It is a wonderful power. But may I tell you that with any power, you can use it to hurt. In fact, the Bible tells us, I thought about this verse this morning, in Proverbs 12:18, let me just read it to you. It says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, But the tongue of the wise is health. I'm sad to say that I have used my tongue like the piercings of a sword. I have used truth at time to pierce people and to hurt one another's. We've all done that before. We have used truth and we know it's truth, so we think, well, it's okay because it is truth. But if it is not spoken with love, it will do great damage and great harm. The power of truth. By the way, I pray that every couple here, that in your marriage, you are not just married as couples, but you are friends. Brethren, I'll be honest with you. I believe, men, your closest friend on the face of the earth and your best friend should be your wife. And wives, I believe that your closest friend, your best friend should be your husband. There is no doubt about that. I can say today that my wife and I, we are best friends. I'd rather be with her than anybody else on the face of the earth. There is nothing that I want to do outside of my wife. I want her to be with me. I want to enjoy life together. I want us to grow old together and to serve God together. But it is a friendship. But in friendship, I remind you of Proverbs 27:6 that says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Listen, how would you like to go to the doctor and the doctor to find something that is majorly wrong with you? And for the doctor to say, well, I don't really want to tell them because I'm afraid it will hurt them or discourage them. So I'm just going to hide the truth. You would say, that is so wrong for the doctor to do. That is evil for the doctor to do. That is so deceitful and wrong. But in our marriage, can I tell you this? You must use the power of truth. Ladies, you must use the power of truth spoken with love. And men, you must use the power of truth. We must be the right kind of friend. And a friend is willing to wound their friend, to help them. I have a good friend. His name is Jason. And Jason and I graduated high school together. And we were very close in high school. We played basketball together and soccer together. You know something? I remember Jason. He was a true friend. I remember one day he said something to me. It was truth, but it hurt. He said something to me along the lines of, Aaron, can I tell you something? Aaron, I love you. You're my friend. But Aaron, I'm going to tell you something. What you just said was very hurtful to me. And you know something? He spoke the truth to me. To this very day, we are close and we call one another and pray for one another. But I'm going to tell you something. He was a true friend because he was willing to wound me because I needed to hear the truth. Men, you need to hear the truth that your wife can speak to you. But if you don't accept it and if you resist it, can I tell you what you're doing? You're hurting your spouse and you're hindering what God wants to do in your life. And ladies, if you resist the truth that your husband speaks to you in love, you're hindering, you're stopping the work of God in your life. God put you two together, that you are to be fitly joined together, that we are to speak the truth in love that we may grow in our Christian life. May I say this, that marriage shows you a realistic, unflattering picture of who you are. And then it takes you by the scruff of the neck. And it forces you to pay attention to it. In fact, this may sound discouraging today and disheartening today, but it is really the road to victory and it is the road to freedom because Jesus Christ himself said in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Do you know that, ladies, what your husband is speaking to you in truth, in love, that will give you freedom. It will liberate you. It will help you to walk with Christ like never before. It will help you to be more Christ-like and to grow up into him like the Lord wants you to grow. And men, the words of truth that your wife speaks to you in love is there for your purpose. It is there for your conforming to the image of Christ. But may I say this to you? So often, the only flaws that enslave you in life are the ones that you are blind to. In fact, if you are in denial about some feature of your life, some characteristic that is a sin habit, that will control you the rest of your life. That is why it is not love. It is not friendship to withhold the truth from your spouse. Now, like I said, There was a time in my life that my wife could not speak the truth. You know why? Because I got angry about the truth. She would point out something lovingly and kindly, and she always did it appropriately in the right way. And there has to be an appropriate time that we speak the truth in love. And it needs to be in the right way, not in public in front of people, but in a private, loving setting that you speak the truth in love. And my wife did it, but it infuriated me. I'm sad to tell you this. I'm ashamed of it. But it made me angry that my wife pointed out, look here, my wife didn't cause the anger. She didn't cause the character flaw. I just didn't like to see it. I didn't want it. And for a while, my wife withdrew from that. And one day I said to her, honey, how come you don't talk to me and things? She said, honey, I can't talk to you. You won't listen to me. You get mad and angry every time. And you know something? In that moment, the Spirit of God convicted my heart. And God said, you are guilty, son. You don't listen to your wife. You don't receive the power of truth. Can I tell you this? Marriage is something that turns the light on in our life. It shows us what we really are. Men, realize that God has given your wife the power of truth and accept it. Give your wife, give her the freedom, give her the liberty to speak to you in love, to help you, and to help you become what God has called you to be. And ladies, give your husband the right to speak the truth to you in love. But men, may I tell you, and ladies, may I tell you, we must not use this power in the wrong way. Like I could use my words today. You know something, even as a pastor, you know the Bible commands a pastor that he is not to lord over the flock. I know preachers that berate their people. They criticize their people. They use their power as a pastor to deride them and to discourage them. But as a husband and as a wife, you have a power, the power of truth. Use it wisely, but all use it that you can grow together. In fact, I'm reminded of what Paul said in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 16. He spoke the truth to them, but then you know what he said? Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Can I ask you something today in church when you hear the word of God given? I know sometimes people get mad at the preacher, but can I tell you something? He's just giving the truth. Have I become your enemy because I speak the truth to you? But husbands, have you treated your wife like she is your enemy because she has spoken the truth to you in love and in compassion and she has come to you in a good spirit, but you've treated her as your enemy? And wives, have you treated your husband as an enemy? He came to you in love. He sees what nobody else can see because you're together and he wants to help you, but you resist. Do you treat him as your enemy? The power of truth. Listen, truth liberates. Truth gives freedom. Truth, it encourages us and strengthens us. Yes, it is hard to receive. But by God's grace, we can use the power of truth. Number two, not only do we see the power of truth, but we see the power of love. Look what the Bible says back in Ephesians chapter 4. And notice this verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Let's read verse 16 again. For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Look here, without love, if you just give the truth without love, you will do great damage. Can I tell you something, men? If you speak the truth in anger, you will hurt your wife more than you can ever imagine. Ladies, if you speak the truth, but you do it with anger, and you do it to hurt because he has hurt you, and may I tell you that so often that is what we do? Someone has hurt us by their words, by their actions, by their attitude, and we're hurt. We're hurt, we're wounded, and we use truth to wound them back. It's almost like revenge. It's almost as if we're getting our way. We're kind of hurting them because they hurt us. But I use truth, and I'm really a valiant person. No, we are to speak the truth in love. Look what the Bible says back in Ephesians chapter 4. Go back to verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Look what it says in verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now look here. It should not be that the very moment that someone does something that we think is not right, should it be that we're looking for every little wrong in our spouse? Should it be that every time something is said or done, I've got to speak the truth in love. I've got to help them. Look here, that's not the emphasis. You say, Pastor, what does this mean? Well, I've read a verse this morning that God used to help me. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8, may I read it to you? The Bible says, and above all things, have fervent charity. The word is love. Among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You take a little baby. Can I just tell you something about babies? Sometimes they stink, all right? I just want you to know that. Sometimes they don't smell real good. And my wife, bless her heart, there was times when, and I changed my share of diapers. I know my dad told me when we first had our first kid, he said, son, the only time that God ever audibly spoke to me was when I changed one of your diapers and God said, don't ever do that again. And I said, yes, sir. And he was kidding, you know. But I remember sometimes I'd be holding one of my children and, you know, things would take place as normal and they would not smell as good. And I would say, hey, honey, I need you, you know, and would you go clean the child up? Well, look here. You know something? You take a mom and her dad, they love their child. They love their child in spite of all the imperfections, in spite of all the late nights and the sick nights when the wife is up hours on end taking care of the sick child. Look, they love that child. Why? Because their love covers a multitude of sins. What about a child that breaks the mom's heart and hurts the mom and lives a wayward life? That mom never stops loving that child. That dad never stops loving that child. Why? Because their love covers a multitude of sins. And in our marriage, there should be Bible Calvary love that covers a multitude of sins. Not that we are looking for every wrong and we're looking for every false thing in a person's life, every character flaw. That's not love. Love covers a multitude of sins. In fact, would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13? The power of love. Oh, how powerful love is. You know what the Bible tells us in Proverbs 17? You're going to 1 Corinthians 13. But it says, a friend loveth at all times. We gave wedding vows today. Those commitments we made, that covenant we made in sickness and in health. We all want the health, but the sickness is a hard time. For richer or for poorer, for better or for worse. Look here, can I tell you something? Men, you don't really love your wife if you're only about the better and the richer and the health. You don't really love your husband, wives, if you're just concerned and you have the good feelings only during the good times. That's not what love is. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love is, and by the way, love is not a feeling, it is an action. It is obedience to Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, husbands, he didn't say, feel good about your wives. He says, husbands, love your wives. 1 Corinthians 13 is what we would call the famous chapter on love. Would you notice it in this context of marriage? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, the word is love, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. The emphasis there is that, let's say that someone has, let's just take a cymbal and they are banging away at the cymbal. If you ever watched Barney Fife before, he got cymbals one time and it was pretty discouraging, you know? And the cymbal is going off, it's loud, it hurts. But let's say that behind the scene of someone doing the cymbals, they are speaking words of love. I can't hear your words of love because the sounding brass and tinkling cymbal is so loud. I don't
I don't take the words of love. And may I tell you, if you speak truth without love, the Bible says you are giving sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. In fact, the Bible goes on to say, notice what it says here in verse 2, and though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, would you look at the next three words? I am nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You know something? I believe every man in here would stand up and say, I would give my life for my wife. Great. But if you don't have love, it profits you nothing. And I would say the same thing. I remember telling my wife years ago, I would die for you. But you know something? Ladies, they take that, but are we going to love them? Are we going to live for them now? Are we going to serve them in love and in kindness now? You see, the Bible tells us that if we don't have love, it profits us nothing. In fact, we are nothing without love. Let's read on. Look what the Bible says in verse 4. Charity, love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the what? Truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. The Bible says charity never faileth. Can I say this to you? Your spouse's opinion of you, the truth that they might give, can be a terrible weapon. They can use that weapon of truth, that power of truth, to hurt and to wound. Do you know that, for instance, any type of weapon that has been used, you take a sword, and that is back in Bible days, but the sword is used to protect. It is used to guard, but the sword could be used to hurt. It could be used to wound. And brethren, in your marriage, you have the power of truth. Are you going to protect your wife? Are you going to encourage him? Are you going to help him become the man God has called him to be? Are you going to help her become the lady that God has called her to be? Well, you must guard the power of truth. How do we do that, Pastor? By speaking the truth in love. Look here. Before you give love, you ought to look at this list. Look what it says, verse 4 again. It suffereth long. Are you just impatient? And is kind. Is truth kind? Are you giving it in a kind way? Envieth not. Are you proud? You're envious of your spouse? It vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Look here. If you give truth in an unseemly way, if you speak truth and you're not kind about it, if you speak truth and you're proud about it, can I tell you something? You're not speaking the truth in love. You are misusing the power of truth. But the power of love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Look here, if there's no love in your marriage and there's only power, there's no sweetness to that marriage. There is no gentleness to that marriage. There is no love. Oh, be careful. Be careful because of the spousal power of love and affirmation. When the love is withheld, the statement of truth doesn't help. It hurts and destroys. You know something? I'll tell you something. I'll be honest. Sometimes I'm a little too honest, I think, in church. But may I say this to you? I want my wife's approval and love and affirmation and acceptance more than anything else on earth. I'm honest about it. I think my wife would say the same thing. She wants my unconditional love, my unconditional acceptance, my approval of her more than anything else on earth. You know something? That's the love that I can give her to tell her, honey, I love you. I love you as if you never change for the better, I love you. And honey, I love you if things change for the worse. I love you. That's unconditional love, but I wonder how many ladies feel that love for their husband and how many husbands feel that love. Look here, if you are constantly using the power of truth to say, well, you never change and you've never gotten any better and boy, you do this and do that, you're hurting. You're using the power of love. You're withholding the power of love. You're not giving love. They need love. Our spouse needs affirmation. They need acceptance. But if we withhold that love, can I tell you something? Your marriage is nothing. And in fact, you're not utilizing the wonderful gift that God has given you. Look, sometimes you may think, well, I'm just here in my marriage to affirm. I'm here to encourage. I'm here to give love. But brethren, if you don't give truth, you are destroying what God wants to do in that marriage. You are hindering what the Lord has worked to bring. By the way, truth and love must be kept together. When we are hurt, often we use just the power of truth and we don't use love. In fact, we need to feel so loved by our partners that when they criticize us and they use words of truth, that we have the security to admit our failures and we confess them and forsake them. Then we can grow. In fact, would you go back to Ephesians, please? Ephesians chapter. Now, would you go to chapter? We're in chapter 4, but would you go to verse number 29? Look at this. The power of truth, the power of love. Notice this closely. Ephesians 4, verse number 29, the Bible says this. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister, what's the next word? Grace unto the hearers. That brings us to the third power. It's the power of truth, the power of love, but the power of grace. Now listen to me closely. Truth without love ruins the oneness of your marriage. But love without truth gives the illusion of unity, but it actually stops the growth. If you speak the truth in love, there's oneness, there's growth. But if you only give love without truth, it's a false marriage. It's fake. There's no growth. There's no friendship, because friends, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And a friend loveth at all times. You see, there's no friendship there. There are many marriages today. They're not friends. They just kind of exist. They kind of ignore one another. They look past all the wrong and all the dishonesty in their marriage. But a real couple, a real loving wife will speak the truth in love. A real loving husband will speak the truth in love. And by the way, before we can ever speak the truth, may God help us that before we can cast out the mote out of our brother's eye, we need to search our own heart and look within through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to make sure that there's nothing in our life. You see, so often it is so easy to criticize, is it not? It's easy to find fault. It's easy to find wrong. But if we have the love of Christ in our heart, and if we are loving our spouse, it is truth in love. But what brings all of this together is this. What is the solution to keep truth and love together? It is God's grace. The grace of God. You see, the experience of Jesus' grace in our lives makes it possible to practice the two most important skills in marriage, and that is forgiveness and repentance. Look here. If you speak the truth and you speak it in love, but you do not forgive and you do not repent on each side, can I tell you something? That marriage will not be as God intended it to be. There must be truth that is spoken in love, but then there needs to be humility on the husband as he receives the truth spoken in love. And then there should be repentance on the husband's part, but there must be forgiveness on the wife's part. If there's not the grace that seasons their marriage and makes it wonderful and makes it special, then it will not be as God intended it to be. You see, the power of grace keeps truth and love together. Listen, if only if we choose to forgive and choose to repent can truth and love be kept together. Someone described marriage like a gem tumbler. Now, I'm talking about a precious gem like a ruby or a diamond. Now, I want you to listen to this illustration. You put gems in the tumbler, and they are brought into constructive, creative contact with each other. You know what happens in the tumbler as they're going around, the rubies and the sapphires and the diamonds and all of that? Can I tell you what is happening? It knocks off the rough edges off each other. The gem becomes smooth and beautiful to behold. But may I tell you that within every gem tumbler that scientists will use, they have to put a special compound into the tumbler. There has to be a lubricant, per se, within that tumbler. Because when the gems and stones hit one another, if there's no compound there, they will hit one another and often break. They will hit one another and often crack. You see, that special compound, that grinding compound that is put within the gem tumbler is a great illustration of the grace of God. Look here, truth and love, without God's grace, God enabling you to forgive, God enabling you to love your spouse and to cover with a multitude of sins, enabling you to look beyond them, to see what God is doing in your life. Without the grace, truth and love will not be kept together. May I tell you that spouses so often stay away from the truth because they're scared. Oh, brethren, grace enables us. In fact, Jesus Christ has said of him in John 1:17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." It's God's grace. I'm reminded of what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Would you listen to this verse as I turn there? Colossians 4:6 says this. It says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Listen, when we speak the truth in love, there should be grace about it. Meaning this, the grace. Listen, how do we get grace? The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Grace is a gift. Do you know how we receive grace? James chapter 4 and verse number 7, the Bible says that God resisteth the proud, but giveth what? Grace unto the humble. Brethren, if there is pride in your marriage, maybe the husband might think, "Well, my wife, she's got all these problems and all these issues, and boy, I'm not like that." That's pride. And can I tell you something? There will be no grace in that marriage. Maybe the wife would say, "Well, he's always done this and always done that. He doesn't think good of me, doesn't care for me." That's pride, and there will be no grace. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When there is humility, guess what happens? You receive the grace of God. That's that divine enablement to do what you could never do in your own strength. Listen, you can't forgive in your own strength. You cannot love in your own strength. Grace enables us to forgive. It enables us to love. It enables us to look beyond all the sin habits and the character flaws and to love that individual because, oh, love covers a multitude of sins. Can I tell you this? Grace, you know what grace does? Grace is listening to your spouse rather than withdrawing or shooting back with cutting words. Grace is being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit when He prompts you to apologize for hurtful words or actions. Grace is being the one to suggest that you kneel together in prayer, asking God to help you in your marriage. Grace is being courteous to your spouse when you feel insulted or you feel hurt. Grace. There must be the grace of God. Listen, without the compound, can I tell you what will happen? Truth will do nothing but hurt. But it takes humility. Brethren, this morning I have shared with you what I believe are the great powers. The power of truth. Truth is so liberating. But couples, we must use the power of truth in our marriage. It must be guarded. Oh, that means we need to walk with God. We need to make sure that the love of Christ is in our heart so that when we give truth, it's given in love and that there is God's grace within it. You see, here's what happens. Let's take a wife. She is trying to serve her Heavenly Father. She is trying to help her husband grow. She loves him. So she speaks to him truth in love, out of care and concern. She might even speak the truth to him with tears coming down her eyes. Not with a mean voice, not with a hurtful words. She'll do it seemingly. She'll do it privately, not in front of the kids, not in front of a crowd, not criticizing, not belittling him, but she'll do it, she'll speak the truth in love to help him because she loves him. She wants him to be all that God has called him to be. And when the husband, when he humbles himself before God, when he admits his sin and his failure, when he asks for forgiveness and she willingly forgives him and she treats him as if there's nothing wrong, she loves him unconditionally. Can I tell you what happens when that takes place? God gives grace to that couple. Grace. Grace. Listen, we talk about the amazing grace of God, but God wants to give you the amazing grace in your marriage. That's the compound that keeps everything moving. Listen, back in Ephesians chapter 4, it talked about a body that's fitly joined together. Can you imagine in a vehicle if there was no oil in the vehicle? My dad told me years ago, he bought a motorcycle when he was just a teenager. Bought a motorcycle. And he said that he didn't know that you had to put oil in there and keep the oil going. And he said, I ran the oil right out of that vehicle and it just locked up. He destroyed it. Why? Because there had to be oil within the compound of that vehicle and that motorcycle. It kept everything going. It kept everything lubricated. And in your life, when you do not speak the truth in love, you don't have grace. And the grace is what that keeps things moving. It keeps that body fitly joined together and growing in your Christian life. Let's take a husband. He loves his wife. But he sees what no one else can see in her. But he loves and cares for her, and he speaks the truth to her in love. He speaks to her properly. He speaks to her behind closed doors. He sits down with her, ready to help her, not to belittle her, not to criticize her, not to use his words to hurt her, but to help her. And if the wife will humble herself and receive the words and see the love of her husband. And if she confesses and repents of that and he willingly forgives her and there's restoration and he doesn't hold that over her head, he doesn't bring that back up, God gives that couple grace. Oh, it is a wonderful thing. Brethren, today, you hold the power to your marriage. Will you use the power right? Can I tell you something? These powers work even in a local New Testament church. These powers work among friends. These powers are there. You have the power of truth and you have the power of love. And when you respond and you speak the truth in love, God gives the gift of His grace. May God help us. Let's bow our heads in prayer.